We thank you as you guide us through your word this morning, Lord. The word of life, the word of grace, the word that is to bring to pass your will and your plans and your purpose for our lives, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give all the glory for the spirit of revelation, knowledge of your glory reflooding our lives. Your spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, power and my counsel and fear of God. Thank you, Lord, as you make known your word, the word of your glory unto us. Thank you, Lord of Lords, that we will receive your word into every area of our lives to do us good, to prosper us, and to bring us to your own expected end. Lord of glory, we thank you for humbleness of heart to receive your word. Lord, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Please let's open to James chapter 4 from verses 6 to 10. Before we look at James chapter 4. Okay, let's read it together from verse 6 to 10. Please, let's go. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen. And so again, we see the Lord telling us about humility, humbling ourselves, submitting to God. And we know that we cannot submit to God if we don't know his word. For we submit to God by his word. For God and his word are one and the same. So we submit to the word of God in obedience. And then that is you and I submitting to God. And so again, we see in this verses. Verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So you can see from those two verses, we understand that God demands a quality in the heart, a certain divine attribute of the heart, humility, also called meekness, also called the perfect heart. It is also called the right heart. A humble heart is precious before God. And we see that God resisted the proud. So the opposite of a humble heart, we know, is a proud heart. It is an arrogant heart. It is a haughty heart. And so again, we see God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He supplies his power to the humble. He allows the word of himself to grow in the heart of the humble. The humble heart receives things from God, but the proud heart God resists. In fact, if you look at the scripture, God obeys the proud heart. We know the king Nebuchadnezzar was proud before God, and we see how God abased him. Please let's open to Daniel chapter 2. We will see that this is the way God deals with us, sons of men. sorry, Daniel chapter 4. We all know the story. He was attributing things to himself. He was proud, arrogant, cocky. The king Nebuchadnezzar, he felt, there is nobody like him. And it was the same thing too with Pharaoh, who was king in the time of Moses. He himself was proud and cocky. He even said, who is this God that I should allow you to go and worship him? And so you see a pattern throughout the Bible. God resists and abased. In fact, he fights the proud to make them small. But the humble, he will help, he will supply his grace, he will exalt, he will lift up, he will perform his will, his plans, and everything in their lives. Please let's read Daniel chapter 4. Let's take it from verse 34 to the end. Please let's go. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lift up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reasoning returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. An excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Please underline that last sentence. So you can see this is a king who went through being abased by God. He was proud and God resisted him. And thank God he came to his senses. And look at his testimony, telling us the way of God. The proud the Lord puts down. He abased, he resists. While the humble, he lifts him or her up. And so again, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And we all know the Pharaoh who was king in Egypt at the time of Moses. We all know that he lost everything. He was abased, everything grounded because of pride. Please let's open back to James chapter 4. And so again, we see God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. God does things in the lives of those who are humble to his word. God and his word are one and the same. When we submit to the word of God, he will lift us up. The humble submit to the word of God. The humble yields to the word of God. The humble trembles at the word of God. Is that what the Lord says? Okay, I accept and I will do it by his grace. So the humble trembles at the word of God. The humble will put the word of God first place in their lives. The humble loves to know truth to do. The humble has exalted God and his word above self. And so you have to understand the humble heart is precious before God. God resists and abased and works against the proud heart. We have to know that. And so when you are proudly debating the word of God, has God said that? It is not like that. You are walking in pride. You are setting up yourself for a fall. And you have to understand why the humble heart is essential to walk with God. It has to be with a humble heart. You can't say you are walking with God or you're of God with a proud heart. No, pride is what? Evil before God. Please, let's open to Proverbs chapter 6. Let's read verses 16 and 17. Pride is evil. Pride is the devil's nature. The devil will never obey God. And so a proud heart is a heart set not to obey God. And so we have to understand when we're hearing all these arguments against the word of God, don't join. For that is a proud heart, not willing to obey God. Remember when Achan sinned and the Lord was about to judge him, what did he say to Moses to tell the people? Separate yourself from him and those who are with him. Separate yourselves. Quickly, all of them removed their tent. They separated themselves from him. And we all know the ground took him. If they had not separated themselves, they would have been consumed together. And it's the same thing too. Those who rose up against Moses, separate yourselves from them. Even some of their children separated themselves from them. And we all know the ground opened and swallowed up all the men carrying, who said, oh, we too were called of God. It's not only Moses and Aaron. We too, we know the word of God. And so, argument comes in. Pride. Please, let's read Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Please, let's go. These things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Now, see again, he hates it. They are what? Abomination before him, a proud look, a proud heart, a proud look. Let's flip forward to chapter 8 of that same Proverbs. Let's zero down to verse 13, and we will see a proud look, pride, not willing to submit to the word of God. God says pay tithe, and then you start to argue about it. Is that not pride? And God says, continue in my word, study the Bible daily, come to church and read it. Oh, there must be something else. Is that not pride? A humble heart obeys God. A humble heart searches the scriptures to know what God wants, to know the will of God, and asks for grace to be doing so, what he or she sees in the word of God. Proverbs 8, please, let's read verse 13. Please, let's go. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Please, let's go again. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So you can see, God hates pride. God hates a haughty spirit. Arrogant spirit is all connoting pride, proud heart. God receives the proud and grants grace to the humble. We have to understand that God's dealings with you and I is through the heart. He looks at the heart. Even as we're gathered here, he's not going to look at the fine clothes we have on. He's not going to look at how short or tall, maybe we are slim or we have a little bit of flesh on. No, he's not going to look at your color. He's not going to look at how we are, but he's going to look at our heart. Remember when Samuel went to sacrifice with the sons of Jesse, every one of them prepared themselves. They washed themselves and they were all seated before the Lord. But what was the Lord doing? Looking at the hearts, isn't it? He knew their heart even before they were gathered. He knew everything about them. And so when Samuel saw the firstborn and said, look at how tall, how he walks. This is the Lord's anointed. What did the Lord say? Don't look at his stature and everything. I do not see as you see. I look at the heart. I have what? Rejected him. So you can see, God rejects a proud heart. He receives a proud heart. He obeys a proud heart. We have to understand the ways of God. And he gives grace to who? The humble. He gives grace to who? The humble. He helps the humble. He exalts the humble. He seeks to promote the humble. For the humble yields and submits self to the word of God to do. The humble has lost the fight or the zeal to make excuses for not obeying the word of God. But the proud is filled with all sorts of ways and arguments meant geared towards not obeying the word of God. And if you, who is a child of God, if you've not been studying the word of God, understanding, you will think, those arguments, they are what? Reasonable. Perhaps there's really something in what they're saying. Not knowing the heart is proud. The heart is set not to obey God. And is just looking for followers in disobedience to the word of God. These things we have to understand. We have to understand. Please, let's open to 1 Chronicles, and we will understand why David prayed. I tell you, a proud heart forfeits the plans of God for its life. This is what we don't understand. A proud heart has rejected the will and the purposes, this and the plans of God for that life. For God receives the proud. But a humble heart, humbling itself, submitting to God, had made the choice to have the plans of God and the will of God and the purpose of God for itself. You have to understand. First Chronicles chapter 28, please let's zero down to verse 9. Please let's go. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off. Haven't you known? A proud heart has forsaken God. And what you are seeing or hearing is the evidence. But a humble heart is also called a perfect heart, a willing mind, ready to submit, to obey God. Yielded, a yielded person to God, a person who had submitted self to God, is a person willing to obey and does obey God, has lost the fight to argue against God's word, just wants to know the word of God and live by it. But a proud heart is not ready to obey God, and we pull cloud in that disobedience. Haven't you heard? Wide is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And many finds it. The wide way is the way of pride. Satan is the proud being. But the humble way is the narrow and hard way. And only few finds it. So the choice is yours, to be proud or to be humble or to be of a perfect heart. See again, telling his son to serve God with a perfect heart. In other words, with a humble heart. You can see, humility in God's kingdom is very important. How can you say you are serving God and you are not humble? See this instruction. A perfect heart is also a humble heart. It is also a right heart. It is also a fear, a heart with the fear of God. It is also a heart that trembles at the word of God to obey, to obey, to obey. Please, let's open to Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2, so that you understand this unique thing. In God's kingdom, you have to humble yourself, for the God we serve is also humble. The God we serve is also humble, for he has set his word above himself and does his word. And remember, Christ said we should come unto him, all of us who are burdened and heavily laden, and he will give us what? Rest. He said we should learn from him, for what? He is humble. Please, let's open to it. Before we come to Isaiah 66, let's look at Matthew chapter 11, and we will see there that our God is humble. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 29, please let's read it. Matthew 11, 28 to 29, you will know that humility is a prime thing. A perfect heart, a right heart, an honest heart is also called a humble heart. You have to be honest with your God and with all those around you. Honesty with God and with men. Sincerity to God and with all men. That is the humble heart we're talking about. The heart of integrity. Matthew 11 verses 28 and 29. Please, let's go. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now see a key again. I am meek. Another word for humility is what? Meekness. Another word for humility is lowliness of heart, lowliness of spirit. Lowliness is not talking about your status in life. You can be poor and be proud. You can be rich and be proud. It is talking about a heart yielded, that as God said that, okay, I will do it. Is that the word of God? Searching the scriptures to find out what God wants. Okay, this is what God has said. I will do it. Knowing God for yourself according as it is written and doing what you know. That is the humble heart. That is the heart God is talking about. Remember, Christ himself humbled himself. Please let's open to Philippians chapter 2 so that we understand that in God's kingdom we need this heart. You can't walk with God with a proud heart. God will not do anything for a proud heart. God resists the proud. He rejects. He abases. He fights the proud. And he gives grace to the humble. Philippians chapter 2. Please let's read it from verse 1 to 9. Yes. Okay, let's go. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. In Jesus' name, amen. See a key. That's the way of the kingdom of God. Lowliness of mind. Obedience goes with humility. Humbled himself and became what? Obedient. You can't say, oh, I'm humble to God. And then you are arguing against his word. No. Of course, you may fool we human beings. But God knows the heart. And God is the one who is most important. For he is the one who will either supply his grace or not supply his grace into that life. And I tell you, God is the most important in all things. He is the one whom we all have to deal with. If God rejects you, no human being can force God or say, I will pray and you have God's power. Forget it. Please, let's open to, thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, yes. So that we know that everyone, you have to deal with God, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. And no one can bless if God does not bless. If God is resisting the proud, there is no amount of prayer you can do for God to change his mind till that proud person humbles himself like King Nebuchadnezzar. You have to understand these things. And you have to see the way God deals with us sons of men. David did a very great sin, much greater than King Saul. But what was the difference? David humbled himself, accepted, acknowledged God's correction of his sin. King Saul did not accept, gave excuses, was not ready to obey God. You have to note the different so that we learn and not fall into the same error. King Saul gave the excuse. It is the people. It is the people. I would have done it. I would have obeyed you, but it was the people that made me to disobey you. And it's the same thing too. I will have paid tithe, but the pastor, he will chop the money. I will have come to church, but I have troubles. I will have been reading my Bible, but I have so much work. You know, my work, I work at work, and also I work at home. I will have read my Bible, but you know, my friends was having a birthday party. I have to be there. We've been childhood friends. All these silly, silly excuses. We always have excuses to not obey God. Those are the evidences of proud heart, pride in the heart. Arrogancy, haughtiness of spirit. And then we'll say, how can we have God's help? How can God help us? Okay, let's go to the latest prophet or pastor in town. Don't you understand? God sees into the heart. The pastor or the prophet may not know you. For he can only see as we all see. It is only what you say to him or her will he or she believe. But God knows all things and sees into the heart. And it is God who is most important, for he has the power. Haven't you heard? Once has he spoken, twice have I heard. Power belongs to God, isn't it? Not to the prophet, not to the pastor. Power belongs to God. Please let's read Hebrews chapter 4. And let's read verses 12 and 13. Please let's go. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. See that? And he's a what? A discerner of the intents of the heart. He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Verse 12, the word of God. God and his word are what? Are one and the same. God and his word are one and the same. Nothing. So when the word of God is being preached, God and his word are one and the same. He discerns the thoughts, the heart. He knows those who love to receive his word. He knows the heart that is ready to receive his word. He knows the heart that loves his word. And he knows the heart that does not want to obey his word. Do we understand it now? The word of God. God and his word are what? One and the same. Now, please let's open to Luke chapter. Okay, let's start with Mark chapter 4. Let's now go to the parable of the sower. For now, we will understand how the word of God can produce fruit in our lives. It is the heart. We've been talking about the heart, isn't it? So you can see God and his word are one and the same. And we see now how God receives the proud and gives grace. He gives his power to the humble to be fruitful, to be blessed. He empowers the humble. He promotes the humble. He empowers to be fruitful and to prosper in every area of life. If you look at how he took David from being a shepherd boy, from being the last born of his family, you will understand. And if you know the testimony he gave of David, he said, I have found a man who is after my heart and will what? Do my will, obey me. So now you understand. God receives the proud and grants grace. He gives himself. He helps the humble. He supplies his spirit in abundance. He supplies the might. In that his spirit is all of his power. He will manifest himself to you. He will dwell in you permanently, lifting you up. Remember how he was with Obed-Edom? Oh, yes. Dwelling with him, promoting him, everything about him prospered. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he was with David too. Promoted him. Every time David sinned, David acknowledged, accepted, humbled himself, and did not do so again. He did not give excuses. And so God built him a house. And God wants to build each one of us a house too. He knows how the house will be. Only humble yourself. When you start to give excuses, you know, the reason why I did that is because you did that. That is not humility. And so it is the humble that the word of God will prosper in their lives. For the word of God is the word of his power. God and his word are one and the same. To the humble, God will fill the heart and the household and perform his will in that house. Please let's read Mark chapter 4. Sorry, I'm just trying to locate the verse. Okay, let's look at verse 20. And we know that before verse 20, all other soils, the soil with the hard soil, the wayside soil, and the soil with stone, and the soil too with thorns, all these represent things in the heart. You have to understand that. All these represent things in the heart. Maybe levels of pride and everything. Because God receives the proud and grants grace to the humble. But let's read verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and what? Receive it. And bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Receive it. In other words, receive exactly what it says. The correction, the reproof of what we're doing wrong, everything, receives it. The instruction, what to do, receives it with joy and does it. You can see? Hearing the word of God. The word of God is preached to all men, right from time. The same word is preached. But it is left to you and I to submit to it, to humble ourselves, and to accept it as the word of God. And so again, we see the good soil. And look at how 30-fold, 60, 100, and as it is yielding fruit, the plan of God, the will of God, blessings, God is prospering that good soil. God is helping the good soil. Please let's open to Luke chapter 8, and we'll see the same story. the parable of the sower. God is always speaking to us, sons of men. It is you and I. We can be proud, you know, ignore the word of God, or we humble ourselves. As we sow, shall we represent it? So you can see, it is what we want that we get. If we are proud, we have said we don't want the word of God. But if we are humble, we have said we want the word of God. And I tell you, he will do what he says he will do. Okay, let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Please, let's go. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Please, let's read it again. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Amen. So you can see the good soil is also called what? Honest and good heart. The honest and good heart is the humble heart. Is the perfect heart. Is the right heart. Is the heart that trembles at the word of God to do. Is the heart that takes the word of God as number one in its life. Truth to know and to do. So now, you see why David said God should give or prepare the heart of his son to be perfect. And he also prayed for the whole nation in the next chapter to have the same perfect heart, humble heart, right heart, honest heart, sincere heart, good heart. The soil, you and I, have to be humble, meek. Otherwise, the word of God will not profit us at all. He will resist us. It's quite clear. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so we say to the good soil, the honest heart, the good heart, the perfect heart, the lowly heart, the meek heart, we can see grace given to it to not only grow the word of God, but to also produce fruit. Fruit. And that fruit, harvest, harvest, harvest. So you can see that the good soil, the good heart, the humble heart will never lack harvest at all. Harvest of good things. Various harvest all of his days on the face of the earth. Various harvest in many types. Even in troubled times, he is still harvesting. Harvesting God. For the fruit of the word of God is God himself, isn't it? Filling that heart, doing things to that heart, doing things in the life of that heart, helping that heart, sustaining that heart, making sure that that heart, it is well with him or her. And so now we understand we cannot walk in God's kingdom with a proud heart. We cannot walk in God's kingdom with a proud heart. Please, let's flip forward to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Let's look at verses 9 to 14. We all know the story. It's the story of the Pharisee and the publican. Please, let's read it together. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised other. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican, standing afar off, will not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Is that not what James chapter 4 verses 6 to 10 says? And we see the same thing. So here again, the word of God came, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's all over the old and the new. Only God is righteous. Only God is without sin. And so again, the word of God, they were in the synagogue, in the presence of God. So the word of God came forth to both of them. But look at the Pharisee, rejected it immediately. I fast, I'm righteous, I've never sinned, forgetting what Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 20 says. I'm righteous, I'm not like that publican. And it's the same thing too. And so he absorbed himself, he rejected the word, he did not submit himself to God at all. But look at verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. See, he's not praying to God. You can see that. And prays thus with what? Himself. God does not hear the prayer of sinners. Pride is sinful before God. You understand it now? God does not hear the prayer of sinners. We know that. John chapter 9, verse 31. And pride is what? Evil, sin before God. And so, now we understand he's praying to himself, isn't it? His prayer, God will not hear, because God sees the heart. God is dealing with us through our hearts. You and I, we may be there hearing those fanciful words and say, he does so much for the church. See that? We hear his words pouring for us. Say, man of God, he does so much. But he was praying to himself. God does not hear the prayer of the proud. It's quite clear. God resists the proud. Resists. Abased, fight the proud. That's why the devil is the enemy of God, isn't it? He's a proud being. And we have to understand these things. But look at the publican, verse 13, standing afar off, would not lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Accepted. He accepted the admonition of the word of God. Every time we look into the scriptures, the word of God will correct us, will tell us we've done things wrong. Even as we're hearing the word of God now, it is convicting us in our heart. But if we yield, we will accept and turn away from doing those things. But if we are proud, we will say, the pastor does not like me. He's preaching against me. She's preaching against me. She does not like me. I won't go to that church again. That is a proud heart, not yielding to the conviction of the word of the Spirit of God being preached. Do we understand it now? And how can God help that heart? We all know now, God receives the proud, isn't it? If we have chosen not to obey God and we are given silly arguments, it may seem to work a while. But at the end of it, we will see. If we don't see, other generations. If not, we don't have to see. The word of God will always come to pass, isn't it? He obeys the proud. And so we see the publican accepted and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, genuine sorrow, a contrite and repentant heart the Lord will not despise. That is also the hallmark of a humble heart. A humble heart is quick to repent and ask for mercy or forgiveness and turns away from that error. A humble heart is quick to take divine correction of truth. If you don't accept when God says, according to his word, you are wrong, how can he supply grace for you not to do that thing and do the right thing? And so the publican accepted and look at his testimony. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall what? Be exalted. Justified. He received grace. Grace that made him righteous. Grace that cleansed away his sin. He received power to be lifted up. God raises up the humble or the poor. You see, the poor there is not according to wealth. No, is the humble heart from the dunghill, and sets him to sit with kings. Exaltation because of that humble heart. You can be poor and be proud, you know that? Okay. And so is a condition of the heart, willing to know God and to do as God says to do, is very important. A contrite and repentant heart, the Lord will not what? Despise. In other words, he loves the humble. He gives grace. And so again, we see he gave grace to the publican. The publican enjoyed grace of justification, grace of salvation. He enjoyed grace that lifted him up because he humbled himself. We have to understand that only God is right. And so the word of God is ever right. No matter the opinion we have, if God says this, every other opinion should be closed, rejected, and then we cleave to the word of God. And so again, we see that the humble heart will receive grace. The humble heart will be lifted up. The humble heart will be fruitful. The humble heart will the Lord help. Please, let's turn back to James chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. And so again, you'll be wondering, why have we not been enjoying the things of God? Why have we not been, you know, doing great and mighty things? You see, is the nature of the heart. You have to allow him to search your heart now. How have you been receiving the word of God? Is it something to argue against? Is it just something to be able to quote and say to others that I too I know? Or is it to yield and to submit to it, so that you will do it? Please let's, okay, before we look at James chapter 4, let's look at James chapter 1, verse 21. You see, we have to receive the word of God with humility, with meekness. Receive the word of God with sincerity of heart. You have to be sincere to God and to yourself too, and to all those round about you. You have to be honest to God and to all those round about you. Please let's read verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Now see a key, receiving the word of God with what? Meekness, with humility, with a sincere heart, with a honest heart, with a good heart, a heart ready to obey. Just as we saw in the parable of the sower, the good soil, the honest soil, the honest, the sincere soil. So receive the word of God with sincerity of heart, honesty of heart, with a perfect heart, with a right heart. Please let's open to Matthew 21 and we'll see the explanation also there in the parable of the two sons. Matthew 21 verse 28 to 32. Matthew 21, please let's read it together from verse 28 to 32. But what think you? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Amen. Please let's stop there. Now, we see the story of the two sons patterned as the heart before God. He told the first one, go and work in the vineyard. And he said, no. But later, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, he repented and went. In other words, obeying God. But look at the second one. He too had the same word. You know the hypocrisy we all do, the pretense. But yet, in our heart, we know we don't want to do it. So I'd go, oh yes, I go. But he did not go. So now you understand. If you already have the heart that you are Lord unto yourself, nobody can tell you what to do. Nobody can, instruct you. It is my life. I will do it as I want. You go to church. You hear the word. You will just, oh, yes, I do it. It's a lie. The pastor does not see your heart. He's not God. I'm not God. But God himself, who is the owner of the power, who is at work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God, who is power, who is the blesser, who is the promoter, who does all things for sons of men. Our hearts are what? Open to him. So, we have to understand these basic things. The nature of the heart. The nature of the heart is very important. Are you humble before God or you are proud? Can God tell you to do things his own way, according as it is written, and you accept that, oh, the way I've been doing things is wrong, and you now turn around to do it God's way, or you think, oh, I can live my life, I can do what I like. God receives the proud and gives grace to the humble. The proud heart will never bear fruit. Remember, the soil, the wayside soil, the one with stone and thorns, the word grew, yes, but they did not bear fruit. The word died. But the good soil, the honest heart, the humble heart, not only grew the word of God, but bore fruit. You have to understand. Harvesting fruit. Every month you harvest fruit because of a humble heart that is hearing the word of God daily and also coming to church to hear the word of God. And so we have to understand, when we hear all these arguments against the word of God, it's the manifestation of the proud heart. After all, Satan is always arguing against truth, bringing up wrong doctrines, wrong things, everything. That he's a proud heart. So you understand. He's not willing to obey the word of God. And so he will dream up arguments, even make that heart to write it out for him. Why this is the way he or she thinks rather than the word of God. Those are the workings of a proud heart. And we know Satan is the proud heart. But we now know the way of the humble heart. Jesus came to demonstrate the way of the humble heart for you and I. Has God said that? Quick, do. So now, please let's look at Isaiah chapter 66. And we will see. You may say, oh, are you sure, if I don't obey God, God won't look at me? This is the word of God, Isaiah 66, from verse 1 to 2. Please, let's read it together. Please, let's go. Sorry, are we all there? Okay, let's go. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things had been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. See that? God receives the proud, isn't it? And he gives grace. He looks. He has to look unto you, isn't it? Before he supplies himself. And so again, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor. You see, not poor as in worldly goods, poor in spirit, lowly in spirit, humility, humble heart. And of a contrite spirit. In other words, as that person is growing in the knowledge of God, definitely you will know that your ways, my ways are wrong. Every day as we look into the word of God, we will see the errors of our human ways. And then we repent, isn't it? The contrite and repentant heart. A humble heart is always humble. That, Lord, I know my ways are ways of error. Teach me your ways so that I will walk in it. And when it sees from the word of God that his ways or her ways are wrong, quickly will repent and ask God for forgiveness. And God will supply grace. Look at how he looked upon the publican. He heard his prayer, supplied grace. And it's the same thing too. Don't let's fool ourselves. If God does not look upon you and I, no human being has power to look upon you and I. All have sinned and what? Falling short of the glory of God. Haven't you heard? Once has he spoken. Twice have I heard. Power belongs to God and not to man. The arm of flesh has what? Failed. And so, we see here, he looks upon the poor in spirit, the humble, the perfect heart, the honest heart, sincere heart. We have to be honest with God. See how that second son, was he honest with God? No. He said, I go. But he did go. He's not honest. We have to understand. We must be honest to God and with our own self. And then with those round about us, with others. We have to be sincere. That is what is called the heart of honesty and what the heart of integrity. We have to be honest to God and with all men and with ourselves in our homes. We have to be honest with one another as body of Christ, children of God. We have to be honest with one another. If you are not honest with God, you can't be honest to yourself. Talk less of being honest in your home or to those round about you. Forget it. And so again, we see this quality, the good soil. Let's go back to James chapter 4 now. And let's read verse 10 now. James chapter 4, verse 10. Please let's go. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Let's go again. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Once more. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen, amen. Let's thank God for the word we've shared. Let's thank him. Lord, we thank you for your word. We give all the glory. Thank you, Lord of Lords. Thank you, King of Glory. We say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, King of Glory. Thank you, Holy One of Israel. Lord, we bless you. We give all the glory. We have heard your word and we say thank you. For Lord, we know that your eyes run to and fro over the earth, looking to see whom you will show yourself strong, the one with a perfect heart, the one with a humble heart. And so, Lord, we know that you are looking at us, Lord, to show yourself strong on our behalf. For Lord, we have heard your word and we have made a choice, Lord, to humble ourselves before you, Lord. Lord of Lords, you want to show yourself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards you. You want to show yourself strong, supplying your grace in the behalf of those who have humbled their heart before you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that has come into our hearts in season, Lord. And we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing hearts in this place, Lord. Humble heart, willing to do your will in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, let's open to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. And let's use this to pray. Even as we sing that song, purify my heart. Cleanse me, Lord, I pray. Remove from me all that is standing in the way of your love. think he starts with, teach me your way and I'll walk in your truth, isn't it? Give me a totally undivided heart that I may. Okay, let's sing the chorus. Okay, let's read 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. Please let's go. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And so let's ask him in the name of Jesus that every one of us in this place, every household, every member of every household, every child, every grandchild, every adult, every male, every female, that the Lord should prepare the right heart in us, the good soil, the honest heart, the sincere heart, the perfect heart, the humble heart, the meek heart, the heart that will walk sincerely with God and with self and with all men and round about us, the heart that when God corrects us, we will receive the correction and turn from the error and do things the right way. The teachable heart, the correctable heart, the heart with the fear of God, the heart that takes truth as number one to know and to do in the mighty name of Jesus. And so pray and ask him with a sincere heart that you want to humble yourself before man, before God, before man. You want to walk humbly on the face of the earth, doing truth, yielding to the word of God in every area of life, in the mighty name of Jesus. You want to have lowliness of mind, lowliness of heart, knowing that you are what you are by the grace of God. You want to live a life of humility, knowing that whatever we are, it is God. Everything he's going to do for us, it is still of him. Where we are, he placed us in families, he placed us in nations, even in colors, everything is of him. And so we humble ourselves, we accept his word, we accept his plans, we accept his purpose, we accept with joy all that God says in his word, and we are ready to do in the name of Jesus. Amen.